السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد tonight 26 juz of the Quran المجيد من سورة أحقاف الله سبحانه وتعالى reminds us with regards to the incidents of the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns against rejection of the truth and what happened to the previous nations who had rejected their prophets. Inevitably, they were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions about the nation of Hud, or who were known as the Ad. Allah had given them great amount of power, and that power created lots of pride in their hearts, as we learn in another verse of the Quran. They said, "Man ashaddu minna quwwa." Who has got more power than us? Who is more powerful than us? Allah in that particular verse says, "Awalam yaraw anna Allah alladhi khalaqahum huwa ashaddu minhum quwwa." Do they not realize that the being who created them has got more power over them? And inevitably Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. The lesson that we learn is that, you know, power, wealth, civilization, these things cannot save a person if that individual turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this particular surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the dutifulness that we have towards Him and towards our parents. And a beautiful dua is taught, "Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati alayk wa ala walidayk." Oh Allah, grant me the ability to appreciate your bounties upon me and the parents that you had granted me. Therefore, we also understand from this that gratitude to Allah is closely connected to appreciating our parents and the favors of our parents. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah discusses the incident of the jinn who had listened to the tilawat of the Quran-e-Majid by none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they heard this tilawa, they brought iman and they accepted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They went back to the people and they said, "Inna sami'na kitaban unzila min ba'di Musa." They went back to their people and explained to them that we've heard, you know, a book that is very similar to what we heard from Musa alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this particular incident. In the next surah, Allah gives a contrast between the true believers and those who were the munafiqeen, the true believers. They followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They supported the truth. They sacrificed for the sake of Islam. Whereas the munafiqeen, they showed iman outwardly, but they opposed the truth inwardly. And inevitably, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the mu'mineen. We understand that victory comes through sacrifice, through steadfastness, and it doesn't just come through comfort. In the next surah, Surah Fath, also with regards to victory, the word Fath means victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences that surah, "Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina," that we have granted you a clear victory. This particular surah was revealed after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, where the Muslims were prevented from performing the Umrah or the Hajj. And many Sahaba regarded this treaty as a defeat. They felt that we had come all the way, and now we have to sign this treaty and we have to go back, and we're unable to perform, our ibadah. And, they viewed it in an unfavorable way, naturally. But Allah regarded this as a victory, and therefore, we actually, you know, when we look back at history, we find that this actually was a victory for the Muslims. Because what eventually happened was, through this, treaty, Islam spread rapidly throughout the region, and the strength of the Muslims were consolidated. And you find that the mushrikeen also, they were able to view Islam in a more favorable manner, because now the antagonism and hostility had been removed by virtue of this treaty. So the lesson we learn is that sometimes something appears, to be a loss. Outwardly, it may be a loss, but in reality, it could perhaps be a victory through the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the qualities of the sahaba-i-kiram, ruhama'u baynahum. The Sahaba-i-Kiram amongst themselves, they had lots of mercy and kindness for one another. This was the quality of the Sahaba-i-Kiram. Then we move on to the next surah, Surah Hujarat. In this particular surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Islamic etiquette and social conduct. And right in the start, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawtin nabi. O ye who believe, do not raise your voice above the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah says, an tahbata a'malukum wa antum la tash'urun. By doing so, you may destroy all your good deeds. So from this we learn that disrespect to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for that matter, you know, whether it's disrespect to the ulama-i kiram, disrespect to, you know, our parents, disrespect to our parents, disrespect to our teachers, disrespect to the masjid, anything that is, you know, worthy of respect. Islam is a deen of respect, and Islam teaches us respect for all these things. So in this particular surah, the Sahaba-i kiram are taught respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about not accepting, you know, just information without verifying that information. In ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu. If some information is, if you receive some information, then you should verify this information. Because if we just accept information without verification, then we find that there could be regret and remorse thereafter. You know, and this is a common thing in our society. We find now on social media that people receive messages, and without verifying the message, we then broadcast the message, only to realize that in fact that message was, you know, a hoax. And now you find that sometimes now with AI, some of these you know, images and so on are completely doctored, and people have to actually fact check these messages. So this is very important, and it's a teaching of Islam, so that you know, people are not accused wrongly or are not viewed in an incorrect way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah teaches us not to mock one another, not to have harbor suspicion against one another, not to backbite and make ghiba of each other, not to insult one another, not to spy on one another. And in this particular surah, there is a very powerful verse, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about equality in humanity. Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha. O man, O people, we have created you from male and female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. And we have distributed you into tribes and to nations. And the objective of that was لِتَعَارَفُوا, so that you may recognize one another. Just on this point of recognizing, you know, if can you imagine if every single person looked exactly the same? Just like in one family alone, like many years ago in the madrasa, we had a set of twins in one particular grade. And they were identical twins. And they used to really run amok in the classroom because the teachers didn't know who's who. So sometimes the one would bring his book and the other one would bring that one's book. And so it became so hard for the teacher to distinguish between the two. Now can you imagine if the entire classroom, every single person looked the same? So Allah Ta'ala in His Hikmah has made it such that someone is slightly taller, someone is shorter, someone has got a darker complexion, someone has got a lighter complexion, someone has got a longer nose. But this is the objective of that, is just so that you recognize each other. Allah doesn't look at those things. Allah says, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. In the eye of Allah, the most noble amongst you is the one who has got the highest degree of taqwa. So Allah looks at the taqwa in the heart, and that is the criteria of acceptance. Then if we move on to the next surah, Surah Qaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about qiyamah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, you know, the scene of qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to you than your jugular vein. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of every single matter of ours. And Allah has absolute control over us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Jahannam. And one of the qualities of Jahannam is that it always wants more and more and more. يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. On the day of Qiyamah, Jahannam will be questioned that, are you now full? Jahannam will say, I want more, I want more, I want more. So this is a very frightening scene. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us very, very far away from Jahannam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala balances this by then describing Jannah. that how Jannat is beautified, how Jannat is adorned, and all the bounties and the favors and the glitter and the glamour of Jannah. So to create that zeal and enthusiasm in our hearts for Jannah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all to Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ, that there is not a word that emanates from your lips except that there is an angel that is writing and recording this. There is a quick incident I'll mention. Our late Mu'anis Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was traveling to India to study. It was during the period of his studies. And in those days they would travel by ship. And on the ship there was a Muslim person by the name of Farooq, who was also on the ship, but he was actually studying in UK, in the Oxford University. And unfortunately, he was far away from Deen. So they got into a conversation, and Maulana asked him that, what are you doing? He said, I am studying geology in the University of Oxford. So Maulana replied that, I am studying theology in the University of Deoband. So he said that, you mean you went all the way, went all the way from South Africa to India to learn about the existence of God? So then, he had an objection. He said, you Moli Sahabs, you all say that there are two angels sitting on the shoulder and they write down everything. By now, your shoulders should have been so big that you won't even find a coat to fit on your shoulders. So Maulana responded, mashallah, in such a beautiful way. Maulana said that, you must have studied a lot. You must have traveled a lot of places. Which books you studied? You went to which primary school, and which secondary school, and which places you went, and what you studied, and which countries you visited. And Maulana carried on probing in this way. Eventually, Maulana said, now tell me something. All this information, whether it's the books and the travels and the people that you've met, where's all that information? It's in your brain, isn't it? That by now, your brain should have been so big that you won't even find a hat to fit on your head. So Maulana was trying to explain that if Allah, and today with technology, it's so easy to understand, that millions of pieces of information can be stored in a simple little chip. And nowadays it's not even stored in the chip, they say it's stored in some cloud somewhere in a different country or something. So if Allah can give man that kind of technology, what is it difficult for Allah to record every single statement, the intention behind that statement, and all of that can be recorded? It is not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us a realization.